Welcome to the Hirogenics podcast series, innovative contingent workforce solutions insights from the experts. Thank you for tuning in.
Welcome. I'm Lisa O'Leary, and I'm here with Valerie Quinata, SVP Workforce Management Solutions, and Tiffany Bolowski, SVP Workforce Management Solutions, both from Hirogenics. And today we're going to focus on tech women and interviews. It is a pleasure having you both here today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Very excited to talk about this topic with both of you. And we'll go ahead and dive in and talk about why do you think we see few women in leadership roles? I don't know, Valerie or Tiffany, if you want to take that.
Sure. I'm guessing we both have ideas about this because I think there's a number of different reasons why we might see fewer women in leadership roles. There's research out there about STEM activities and education. I'm sure that plays a part in it as well. From my perspective, the work that I've done in the employment industry over the last 20 years has also shown that when it comes time to have a technical interview, that women can sometimes approach technical interviews differently. And I believe that that may be impacting how many are hired into technology roles. And now I'll defer to Tiffany for her thoughts.
Yeah, it's a great point, Valerie. And I'll piggyback off of that. So I find that, you know, as women, we approach things very differently, not only from our style, but our communication, decision making, even our energy can play into that. So I find that in today's world, sometimes those characters might clash in the dominant culture that we live in.
I can see that. And for women, it could be a struggle on interviewing. Could this mean that they do not have the required skills and abilities, or do you have any tips for them?
So my experience, again, is I tried to address this problem. I would talk to technical interviewers and ask them questions. And the feedback that they provided was that they felt that women do have the required skills and abilities, but they sometimes might get in their own way a little bit because they seem very tentative in their responses and they seem unsure of themselves. They lack a certain amount of confidence that even with the required skills and abilities, a technical hiring manager is also looking for in the role.
Okay. Tiffany, do you have anything?
I do. And I actually have a great example, you guys, before jumping on this podcast. And, you know, I think in our mind as women, we almost over prepare for things, or we're worried about things. And it's just our makeup, right? Our empathy and the way our mind thinks, the emotional cue we take in life in general. So my example is, prior to doing this, you know, I'm Googling, I'm literally trying to prepare for everything. And it's like, this is a conversation. This is something that we know every day. And I think sometimes we just, as Valerie stated, we get in our own heads where we know this stuff. We just need to be able to get into a relaxed mindset and have a conversation. And I think that we would flourish.
Absolutely. And how do you, either of you think that we can get out of our own heads? Like, is there mindfulness tools that we need to focus on before an interview? Because many women may get nervous. How do we overcome that?
So that is such a great question. And I think, you know, the mindfulness approach is certainly something that could help here. For in many cases, I think part of the bottom line issue is perfectionism and the sense that if we can't be perfect, then we're nothing. We're going to lose the opportunity if we don't know 110% about a topic. If we're not able to engage across every possible question that could be asked in a development environment. And so I think one of the things that we need to do as women is give ourselves permission to not be perfect and to just share what we know and how we approach development problems.
Absolutely. Tiffany, do you want to add anything to that?
I believe that, I mean, there's so many great tools out there from, you know, breathing exercises to getting to a point where, you know, you listen to some of your favorite music. There's a lot of tools out there, but I also believe everybody's different on how they approach things. So I would say to find out what works best for you and, you know, go forward with that.
Absolutely. I love that. And, you know, us women being very, I don't want to say all of us, being extra sensitive, more aware of our emotions, why do you think that we have that need to have to prove our knowledge?
We tend to think that there's a correlation between how much we know about something and how nervous we'll be in the interview. If we just know enough and we're confident because we know 120% about something, then we'll be able to relax and have a conversation. But oftentimes interviews, especially technical interviews, are extended so that the interviewers are asking questions beyond your level of knowledge because that's how they gauge your fit in the team. This person knows this much, and from here to here is the range of their knowledge. And they're not doing that to limit you as a candidate. They're doing that to identify where you fit in the team. So it truly isn't even necessary to know 120%. But I think it helps women feel that they'll be more confident and relaxed in the conversation.
Okay, absolutely. And Tiffany, anything to add with that?
Yeah, I just think if we could approach the interview and just be authentic, right? I mean, that's what most women strive to be, is authentic in the workforce. And to Valerie's point, I don't know if that's always how an interview is set up, especially on the technical side. But and that's a lot of work to be done, right? And able to be authentic in an interview, but yet show our skills. And so with that said, I would say that, you know, we got a lot of work to get there, but we need to be authentic. I truly, truly believe that.
That's great. And if we're going to be our authentic selves in an interview, when we are answering questions, do you think that we are going to have to answer each question correctly, especially when it comes to the technical side?
No, absolutely not. And again, I think where we get in our heads, to Valerie's point, you know, we want to be perfectionists. We want to get everything right. And if we could just step back from that mindset, and while we might not know the answer, but we could share how we are so resourceful to find those answers. I mean, women are masters at multitasking because we have to be, right? And so if we could share with that interviewer how we would approach the problem and find the answer, instead of thinking we have to know the correct answer.
That's great. Valerie, anything to add to that?
No, you know what? I completely agree. It is not necessary to know the answer. I tell people, if you absolutely are sure and certain that you know the answer, if it's an obvious answer, that's fine to give it. But for the most part, especially in technical interviews, what they want to know is how you think, how you approach problems. And so if you get used to thinking out loud through a problem and being comfortable asking clarifying questions, you're really giving them a better view into how you think and what you know.
Okay. So that actually brings me to my next question here about, you know, if we're in the interview, what is going to be an effective way for us to prove our knowledge or to showcase our skills or just our experience in general? Is this going to be everything that we have on our resume, which goes back to the other podcasts that we've done with you, Valerie, or is there something new that we can give the listeners?
I would say that the something new is insight into how you approach problems and how you approach development. So if you think about all of the keys that you bring to that interview, you in a development and technical interview, sometimes you've already got, you know, a GitHub, you have things that you can show them, you've got a portfolio to share with them. You should always feel comfortable if you're using CoderPad or there's a whiteboard available, you should always feel comfortable picking up a pen or a marker and asking, is it okay if I think this out on the board or using it on the CoderPad? Anything that you can do to really help them view how you think through a problem is helpful.
That's great. Tiffany, anything to add?
No, I'm good. I think Valerie hit on a lot of, you know, important things. So I'm good. I'll keep going with you guys.
Absolutely. Okay. So the next question I have here for you is about networking. And I don't know who wants to take this one first, but do you think that when women are creating their network, should we be networking with women in technology, or should we be networking with a variety, men, women, and it doesn't have to be in technology? What do you think the value is of networking when you're trying to find a job, and how do we get started?
To me, this is all Tiffany, because this is something that she does really well. I get lots of leads and opportunities from her.
Yeah, I have no problem answering this question. So networking, right? I mean, there's so many different facets of networking. So, but to answer your question, I don't think we should limit it to just women. Certainly don't think we should limit it to just, you know, our comfort zone. And that might be, you know, women of a certain age. I think you have to cast the net pretty wide out there. I mean, we have, just to give you an example, I mean, we have some wonderful men in our own organization that empower women every day. I think it's really good to understand the perspective of, you know, a man or of somebody of a different age or, you know, even of a different background on how they network and be able to get inside their heads, because it opens up so many other doors. If we just stay true to one piece of that networking, you're going to only know about those one type of opportunities.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. So don't limit yourself. Be open to different avenues. And, you know, your network can be a variety of different people from different backgrounds and expertise. And that's a great way of us learning and developing our skills by, you know, meeting these people. Even if it's just on our LinkedIn network, it could be outside of that, you know, get involved.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, I mean, while, I mean, both, you know, Val and I are in technology, I can only speak for myself. I mean, I know technology at a surface level. I can't tell you how many SIG groups I've gone to that are pure technology SIG groups. And, you know, I know an eighth of the information. But what I've gathered from some of those groups and meeting some of the people I've met is, one, they've taught me, which I love to learn, and everybody should continue to evolve themselves. And then the other thing is just taking that information away and sharing it, right? And that's how we better ourselves and empower other women of the people that, you know, like ourselves.
I love that. Empowering other women. And, you know, we should find our tribe. We should support each other and encourage each other to, you know, be our best selves. I know personally, my husband, he is so involved with women in tech. He makes sure that he shows up to all of the events that he's invited to. And then he got more of his colleagues who were men to show up, and they actually have created their own little network to support the women in these tech roles. So it's pretty cool to see that type of thing happening. I don't know, Valerie, anything to add?
Well, I think I agree. I agree completely with everything that Tiffany has said. And the points that you're making are really about helping women understand their ability to empower themselves to achieve what they want to achieve, right? And so we tend to feel like we need permission to do things. And so I think one of the things that Tiffany's saying that is so helpful is to say, you don't have to ask permission. Just understand what it is that your goals are, and, you know, using appropriate methods for contacting people and reaching out to people and building relationships with people, you should go for it. You should go for what the things that you need that make up your dream.
I love that. And it could inspire other women to have that courage to just dive in and, you know, take a chance. And you won't know unless you try. So I'm all about that. And back to like the interviewing, what are some helpful tips that if we have somebody who is interested in the technology field, what do they need to prepare themselves for?
So I'm a huge proponent of getting assistance from others who can also help me achieve my goal. So I like working with the recruiters who have scheduled the interview to understand as much as I possibly can about the interviewers, about the types of questions that they ask, about the environment that I'm going to be interviewing in. And I like to practice interviewing. And sometimes that's not an enjoyable pastime, but practicing answering questions about your capabilities, answering questions about your work history. Always you need to practice the tell me about yourself question. And the more that you practice those answers in front of a mirror or in front of your family or while you're driving in your car, the better you'll be and the more you can relax in the interview.
That's amazing. And I can relate to the mirror. I have made the mirror my best friend, not in a vanity purpose, but I really like to practice, you know, body language, facial expressions, everything when I am speaking. And it helps me build on my skills. And then I will practice with somebody in front of me. So I think that could go a long way with a lot of our listeners to just, you know, be confident within yourself and seek out like a mentor to help you with coaching you in terms of interviewing. You can never go wrong by practicing. So I love that. Anything to add to interviewing tips, Tiffany?
Again, I just go back to, you know, the being authentic. While yes, you want to practice, but make sure that comes off as a very sincere message and it comes off as you and how you would approach things. Because I do feel while it's so important to practice and know the information and walk into that interview prepared, but at the same time, they need to see the best you.
Absolutely. And what if you don't know the answer? What is the best response that you can give?
I think it's often we don't, you know, we don't know the answer to something. And we touched on this a little bit earlier, but how would we go find that answer? You know, how resourceful are we? What kind of research would we do to be able, who would we talk to, you know, kind of taking that, you know, the bull by the horns and say, well, yes, I don't know the answer, but what I can tell you is I can find you that answer and I will get you that answer. It's just going to take me some time.
Yeah. And that's a strong response and it shows your confidence in that you are willing to continue on by researching and figuring that out. And I want to find out a little more about how women in tech can achieve a leadership role.
I think that's a great question. I think there's a lot of people trying to answer that question sort of quantitatively today because, you know, we want to see those numbers change. I think with every organization, it's a little bit different, but certainly identifying companies where women can be successful, and you do that through the interviewing process. So even in those technical interviews, you definitely want to spend time making sure that you've got the skills and the chop to speak to a technical interviewer. But it is also your turn and your time to ask questions about the company itself. So one of the things that I always do is go out to the organization's leadership pages. I like to see how many women are in leadership. I like to see how many women sit on the board. I like to understand if they have a diversity, equity, and inclusion officer in the company. All of those things are flags that show me, am I going to move forward here or am I not? So you want to select a good, strong company to begin with. And then I always like mentoring once you're in the company to really understand your path forward. So those are my thoughts.
That's great. Tiffany, anything to add?
Yeah, I agree 100% with Valerie. And I'll say I would go even one step a little further. It's interesting when you go to these LinkedIn and you're doing that research, but it's interesting to see where the women started in the company and where they are now. It's something that I look at. And if you find that, you know, there's a lot of just someone being stagnant in a company and not empowered and moved up in those companies, then that's a red flag, right? To Valerie's point, you want to see companies that are empowering women, and making sure that their voice is being heard and they're not being sidelined.
That makes sense. I really like that. And my final question for both of you, and it's kind of spinning off of the leadership role here. do we need to educate our employees or at least our leadership in this type of idea of preparing women for leadership roles? I feel like we could benefit as managers or whatever role we're in being educated on something like this to help empower our women employees and tell them, hey, you know, there is opportunity here. What would you guys suggest about that?
You know, I'll start from an interviewing perspective, and I'm sure Tiffany can speak to the enterprise part of that question as well, because I did have individuals who were technology hiring managers who said, what can I do? What can I do to make a woman who is interviewing with me feel more comfortable and be her best self in an interview with me? Because it really doesn't all fall on the women who are interviewing. It really is something that hiring managers who are all competing for talent need to take a look at and think about as well. So I would say from the perspective of that technical interviewer that there are concrete things that they can do to make everybody feel comfortable in a technical interview and to be their best version and feel like they did the best job they could in the interview. They don't want to leave anything on the table in terms of their capabilities. And part of that is just helping them feel comfortable in the interview, understanding what's going to be taking place in the interview, understanding and, you know, setting some guidelines for asking questions and pausing to think. All of those types of logistics are really helpful, and they increase a candidate's confidence level that they'll really be able to share their best self in the interview. So I'm speaking to that.
That's great. And it helps us, like, if the hiring manager is going to create that comfortable, relaxed environment, yes, it's not always going to be like that, but it could help us with, you know, being our authentic self, as Tiffany has mentioned a few times. And I really like your points on that. Tiffany, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, I definitely think there needs to be more training, more multicultural training, right? Needs to occur not only for women, but also for men, and really how to embrace our differences and what we need within our organization, right? I mean, do we need more leaders with empathy? Do we need more leaders that have a certain type of style and approach? Because, you know, if you just keep on hiring the same people, we're going to have just one approach. So definitely more training needs to be had. And at the same time, I think it's a really great exercise for a company to look at where they're falling short in skill sets, not only just the hard skill sets, but right, the soft skill sets, because women bring a different approach to the way they manage, the way they lead, the way they listen. And I think all of those characteristics are really important for both of us to know, because sometimes it lends itself the other way, right? And we definitely need a different type of vision. And that might be something steered more from, you know, a man's side of view. So definitely training. Yeah.
Yeah. A nice healthy balance too. That is just spot on. Well, ladies, before we close today's podcast, do you have any final remarks that you would like to add?
You know, I think it's always one of encouragement. It's always one of encouragement. If being in the development space, if working with machine learning, if pursuing conversational AI and all of the exciting changes that are happening with things like self-driving vehicles, if you want to be a part of that, then be a part of it. Don't let anybody stop you and ask for help along the way every time that you feel that you need it. Nobody has to do this alone.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, don't allow an organization to sideline you. There's so many wonderful companies out there and so many verticals that are further ahead in embracing women in leadership. So go find those leaders, go find those companies, and make sure that, you know, you're empowered, because when you find the right environment, it's a really good place to be in. And Valerie and I are really lucky to be where we're at today.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Thank you both so much, Valerie and Tiffany. You know, I think a lot of our listeners, men and women, are going to be inspired by this podcast and may also feel more motivated to be confident and to be their best selves, or their authentic selves, I should say. And to our listeners, thank you for your support.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Thanks.
Thank you for tuning in to the Hyagenics Podcast, innovative contingent workforce solutions insights from the experts. For more information, visit hyagenics.com. Your success is our success.